Now, how are you feeling this morning? You feeling highly favored? Are you feeling good? But are you feeling real good? But are you feeling real good? Real good. You know, when you're feeling real good, the goosebumps begin to start just... You know what I'm talking about. It's the real goosebumps. The goosebumps that just kind of stand on stand and stand. How is it the goosebumps can stand up? Huh? They come from nothing to something. Kind of like our life has been. We come from nothing to something.
Amen.
And in the presence of the Lord, your nothing becomes your something. You can be just sitting there kind of meandering through life, and the next thing you know is that something has just sprung up on your behalf. All of a sudden, things just come into being and into place just because you love God. And just because you had that ability to just trust God, things just sprung up. Ain't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful that all you had to do is just get up in the morning and just start breathing. And the moment you just start breathing, the next thing you find out is that he already had something in plan for you.
Amen.
All you had to do is just walk right into it.
Amen.
The beautiful thing about the tabernacle of God in the wilderness is in the wilderness. It wasn't in Egypt, it was in the wilderness. There was not a place of dwelling for God, for the people of God, but in the wilderness. So when you're going through something, there's a wilderness experience, isn't there not? But in your wilderness experience, there is a tabernacle for you. And that tabernacle is there for you to commune with God and spend some time with God. But don't get too comfortable on the outer court. Don't get too comfortable out there. Because when you get comfortable on the outside, you can never progress to the inner. You have to let the things, oh Jesus, help me. You have got to let the affliction that has drove you into the outer court, the same affliction is going to drive you deeper into the inner court. You gotta let the things that's been going on in your place of life, your place of residence, your place of business, your relationship, even though it's been a little rocky. But every time you get up on the rocks, baby, you're gonna understand one thing. Jesus has something in plan for you. Even if your relationship goes a little sideways, just tilt your head a little bit and it'll come into focus. Because some relationships go a little crazy, brother. They just get a little crazy. You know what I'm talking about. They just get crazy on you. You start, don't look at your spouse right now. Don't. And if you happen to come in with someone that you love so dear, don't even look at them right now. Just know this, that you're going to go through some stuff. Even your relationship with Jesus, you're going to go through some stuff that's going to make you turn your head sideways like a dog look at you and go, "Rrr." What is going on, Jesus? I don't understand why all this mess is going on in my wilderness. I feel like it's dark in here. I know we're supposed to get in the tithes and offering, but I don't want to. Bring my stuff out. I want to get to where I need to get to, and I'm just going to get to getting. Say, get it, Pastor. Just get it, Pastor. Just get it. Now you get it. You ready to get it? Because I'm ready to give it. I'm ready to give it. Jesus said, "What's in your hand? What's in your hand? And what's in your hand is about to multiply. What's in your house? That's what I'm going to use. What you got going on in your life? That's what I'm going to use. What have you been going through? That's what I'm going to use. If you feel like things that have been messed up in your life, that's what I'm going to use. If you feel some things don't make sense in your life, that's what I'm going to use. If all of a sudden you think, oh, this pain in my life is just won't stop, that's what I'm going to use. Even the imperfections of your life, that's what I'm going to use. The things that don't make no sense whatsoever is what I'm going to use. I can just use one because half the time it feels like I'm just going through life with just one paddle anyways.
And it makes me go in a circle, but the wind and the rain and everything that comes against me, this little thing ain't going to do nothing. But one thing I do know, that if I just keep it in my hand, eventually my storm will be quieted. And once it's quieted, all I know is I'll be on the other side.
Amen.
On the other side, Michael. I may be in the midst of some things in my life, but I do got a paddle. I do have an ability within me to kind of paddle through the storms of my life. How many of you have been in a storm in your life? That storm just keeps on raging and raging. And you're looking for that rainbow in your life, aren't you? Where's that rainbow, God? I'm looking for that Sherlock, you know, the little thing, you know, the gold. And I'm looking for something. Because this storm has been a storm. And my little oar here ain't going to do nothing. One thing that I do know is that when you go through something, baby, it's purpose for you. It's purpose for you. Even when it don't make any sense. Even when it don't feel good. And when you just get to that point, how am I going to make it? How am I going to make it? But you made it. You made it. And things are still changing in your life. Still changing. Even when you get home today, you're going to see a supernatural thing take place for you.
Amen.
You need it. You need it, and you need it bad. And he's going to touch you right in that very special place. And all that troubles will be gone. All the scars that are on your heart will be removed. And every memory of the pain will be eradicated once and for all. But you will experience the joy, beloved. Your night season has come to an end.
Amen.
And joy does come in the morning.
Yes.
It comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord.
I'm trying. I'm trying. We're not going to do tithes and offering until the end. We're going to do communion at the end. If you want to leave here, we lock the doors. It's padlocked. You can't leave.
You go.
Ain't nothing out there for you anyhow. Boy, I feel drunk in the Holy Ghost. Can you let me be me? There is something that has been stirring in my spirit for quite some time. I said, Lord, you getting ready for Africa? He says, no, sir, I'm getting you ready for me.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Some of y'all have been coming to church every Sunday, and I applaud that for you. You've seen all this stuff that's going on. You've seen my fishing rod, your tackle box. You know, Old Faithful. And for y'all looking at that ice chest, oh, Pastor, you that ice chest? No, that's my pity pot. Because when I get in the mood, I pull that thing out and I sit around on it and I start crying out to God and crying out to God. I said, Lord, I ain't going down this road no more.
Amen.
He says, well, you ain't on the road. You're in the boat.
That's right.
I'm going to take you somewhere.
Yes, he is.
But where you're going, son, there's going to be some waves that are going to come against you, and they're going to break all around you. You're going to see some turbulent winds come your way, and you're going to feel like you're not going to make it. You're going to feel like there's no end to this thing that you're going through. You're going to feel like something that's not going to let you go, and you're fighting and you're fighting. You're believing and believing. You're standing and you're standing. The tears that come down your face, son, the tears that are sowing the seeds, watering the seeds for supernatural manifestation of what you truly desire of me.
And I know that in times past, we have a tendency to get caught up in hype. We get caught up in the things that sound good and sound like God. But God says, you'll know it's me when you've been afflicted. If you've been afflicted and gone through some affliction, know that you are in my perfect will. And when it don't want to go away, it's because of my affliction that I bore for you. And today you're going to learn about some afflictions that come. Sometimes, go ahead and grab that. Front, there you go, grab that. All right, now sometimes we get caught in the snares.
There you go.
Have you ever felt like you in a what would be a raft, but sometimes can be your life raft? And you're put out in the middle of the ocean. And you're trying to get further and further to the place you're supposed to go to. But you're getting pushed further and further away. And you feel like every time that you progress, it's like the waves get bigger and the wind gets stronger. And every time you try to press forward, you're being pushed back. On this particular boat, there is no motor. I'll tell you what, Michael, since this is your first day of armor bearing, why don't you go ahead and sit in there, sir? Better you than me. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to see something here. Now, this is big enough for maybe two people, possibly three. Come on, Will. Get in with them. No, I want you to face forward. Face forward. All right. Have you ever felt like sometimes you are progressing somewhere, and the next thing you know is that you're not alone? You start finding out that what you've been going through, there's people going through some of the things you're going through. You're not alone. Someone has an issue. Someone else has an issue. We all got an issue. Ain't nobody ever left without an issue. But the thing that I want you to understand, though, is, can you both hold one oar? So, but I want on the left side. Your left side. Okay, yes, sir. Now we have the oars on the left side of the raft. And they're beginning to move and work in the same tandem. Look at that. Look, stroke, row, row. But where are they going to go? In a circle. And what happens is we have a tendency through our afflictions with other people, we begin to row in the same direction. And we go in circles the whole time. But yet we're reaching out and doing the same thing we've done all along. But we're still in our affliction. But we're doing the same thing the same way every single time, expecting a whole different result. That's the insanity that keeps us from getting our healing. Sometimes your affliction, keep rowing, you're going to get tired. Keep rowing. The brother in the front is just rowing real nice and slow. The one in the back is rowing a little bit harder. Watch this, watch. Sometimes the one that is behind you is really struggling to get out. And the one that is in front of you is not giving the effort that is necessary to get out. Sometimes we'll get connected to someone in the same situation, but we can't get out of our situation because we're not looking to get out. We're just looking like we're wanting to get out. When you want to get out of something, you're going to get out. But it's your desire to get out that's going to get you out.
You can't have a deliverance unless you want to have a deliverance. You can't want to come out of your mess unless you want to come out of your mess. You've got to understand there's some stuff inside of you. And if you want to get out of that situation in your life, you have to make a determination to get out. And all of a sudden, directions change. And when the direction changes, now you're going to see there's some progression to getting you to where you need to go. But yet, how is it that one will stay on one side and only one in the head made a decision to go on the other side? Now there's some progression. Now we can move forward to our healing and our deliverance, but still be in our affliction. It first starts with wanting deliverance. Wanting your healing and wanting change. How many of you want change? How many of you want healing? How many of you want to come out of your affliction? I'm going to ask you again because you're not responding like I said it. How many of you want to come out of your affliction? There we go. All right. Now, can you tell me, did you get a little tired? Yeah. What? How did your body begin to feel? Your legs are numb? Shoulders. How was your shoulders? Numb. Well, yours are straight, his are crossed. That's what I want to show you. And I trust me, I got a whole pages of notes, but let me just get right here. Every time you try to come out of something, most of the pain is connected to your head. And all the stress that comes your way is going to be on your shoulders. You ever had some things in your life that you wish you could just get rid of? But then it's just all on you. It's just on you and it won't let go. And you're like, brother, if you don't just get off of me. And it won't get off. You've been there. Just holding you, and you're just getting frustrated. Would you just get off of me? I'm about had enough. If I could find you, I'll whoop it. If I could put my hand around you, I'll choke you. But everything that you're fighting against is not physical. Amen. It's spiritual. Every single thing. Don't look at people that just call you names. That's nothing. Sticks and stones will break my bones. Oh, words will never hurt me. Yes, they do hurt. Because it gets in your heart. But one of the things that I do know, it's sent from a spirit first. To bring affliction on you. To get you to quit. When I get you to quit, then I get everything that belongs to you. Are you going to quit?
No.
Are you going to quit? Are you going to keep believing? Not going to quit. Even when it's on you so strong, you're not going to quit. No, because you're determined. And when you're determined, things begin to change. Didn't mean the affliction was going to stop. Matter of fact, the affliction even comes even more. Comes even stronger. And comes in different forms. What used to be an affliction before is no longer an affliction. Now it's become a vice. Did you hear that? What used to be an affliction now becomes a vice in your life. And now it's just laying upon you right there. Just right there. Right there. Have you ever had that nagging thing? Like, oh. Just right upon your shoulders, right where it connects to the head, is going to make you, instead of looking up, look down. And then every time that you feel that same pressure, you can't seem to get your bearings straight. Because the affliction has you bound. That same vice is the thing that's going to take you down. But you remember, fear not to go down. For I will bring you up once again. Amen. All right, guys, you can get on now. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. What y'all think? Is summer in here?
It's cold. Hallelujah. All right. What I want you to do, if you would, you can leave those in there. I want you to hold that, Michael. I want you to get your Bibles, please, so I could kind of go through some scripture references for you. We'll get to that decree in a bit. Turn, Josh, can you turn the front lights off, please? It should be the top one. Whoo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How many of you know that? Huh? I'll make you fishers of men. Well, it's easy to say that when you go down and the first disciples that you pick are fishermen. It's easy to say that. How about going to someone that doesn't know how to fish? I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're not going to understand what that means. You're not going to understand the logistics of being a fisherman to be a fisher of men unless you first know how to fish. Correct? So this whole series about fishing and this whole series about what Pastor was doing up here, I don't even know sometimes, but he just... God just started speaking, Michael. He just started speaking, and then I said, okay, I guess we're done. He said, no, you ain't done. You ain't done. We're going to do some things different. So, well, we've got people going to think we're a little crazy. First, we have the church like this. Then we turn it the other way, and then we turn it back. We had speakers in the back. Now you have the speakers in the front. They don't know what you're doing. And it kind of seems like your life, when you don't know what you're doing, things just don't seem like there's an order to it. God says, just trust me in this. You're in my boat. And my winds and storms will get you to where you need to get. But in the midst of that, I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men. First, you are used to using a net. And I'm going to show you how to net them in. I'm going to show you how to bring them in. And you're going to think, oh, I got this. I know how this is. No, you don't, because I didn't think of it either. I want you to go to Matthew 4, verse 13, please. Matthew 4, verse 13 through 20 in the King James Version. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From the time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true today, yesterday, and forever. I thank you that your word, Father God, is leading us to a place in you. For where the kingdom of heaven is already at hand, Lord, we must first learn what the kingdom is about to understand that it is here. Father, I thank you for illumination, and I thank you for revelation. And Lord, I just thank you that the people's hearts are ready to receive, and I thank you that the soil of their heart, Father God, is receptive to the seed of your word. And I thank you that you're the God that will make it grow, and all we're to do is be ready to achieve what you have for us in our harvest. So, Father, I thank you for your word in Jesus' mighty name. All of God's children said, amen. I'm going to make you fishers of men. But then he says that the people, which in verse 16, which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light has sprung up. I'm going to preach to you a message, lessons of affliction as you stay afloat in the sea of the unknown. In the sea of the unknown. You got it, Oscar, over there for me? Or David? That's fine. Okay. I don't have to worry about the clicker then. What I want you to understand is that Peter was a fisherman. He would use a net. So that when Jesus tells him, now I want to make you a fisher of men, leaves his net. How many of you know that a fisherman that knows one thing is going to go and reach for something that he knows? He's going to reach for the tools that he's accustomed to reaching to. Understand? That being a fishing rod. We went through this before. Sometimes that you're going to feel like your blessing and your promises are just going to be dragging away. Well, then we also talked about on how the enemy uses the lures. You can read it in. Uses the lures to get you trapped. We've read about that. Then we also read about the depths and the darkness that God will take you to so he can bring you up. He spoke to Jacob, fear not to go down to Egypt. Fear not to go down, but I will go down with you and I will raise you up again. Remember that? Well, in our afflictions and the things that we go through, we first have to understand what the afflictions are and what their purpose to do. And that's what I'm going to teach you today. The other thing is, now that Peter is already used to fishing and now he's going to try to figure out what it is that we're supposed to learn, he's going to say, now I'm going to make you fishers, man. I want you to put everything that you know to do, put it aside because you're not going to go to it again. Because you have a tendency to go back to what you know and what you're used to and what you're accustomed to, that you pick it up over and over and it becomes a vice in your life. But let me show you something new so that you can become a new creature. Watch me and you'll learn what this whole kingdom walk is about. We all know what Christianity is when we start reading the Bible and professing Jesus Christ. But we all have a tendency to forget that affliction is part of the walk. And Jesus couldn't get away from the affliction either. So when he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Oh, you're going to follow me. But you're not going to follow me like you used to follow me. You're going to follow me and as you begin to follow me, you're just going to kind of see how this gospel thing that we're doing, Daddy sent me to do it, and I want you to just watch me, and that's how you're going to learn. How many of you got kids in here? Raise your hand. Even though they're grown, they're grown. Okay, how many of you are kids yourself? Raise your hand. It should be all of us because we all kids. Now, we have a tendency to watch our fathers and mothers, and we begin to mimic and do the same thing that they do, correct? Now, some of y'all are like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. But Jesus was going to show his new children. He's going to show Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Now, you know Peter. No, Peter, my man. Peter is the one that's like, none of this makes sense, God, and I'm going to question everything that you're doing. And everything that you're doing, even though I question it, I'm going to question it with attitude. Yeah. Attitude. I didn't say altitude. I said attitude. Because every now and then you're going to say something, Jesus, that makes no earthly sense whatsoever. And every time I ask you a question, you give me a story that makes no sense to me. That's why I was a fisherman, so I could be alone and not have to go through all these riddles. I can be out there controlling my own destiny and doing everything that I know that I can do. But the moment you step into Christianity, into the kingdom walk, you can no longer do what you used to do in the way you used to do it. Try to go back to your old ways. Watch what'll happen. You used to be such a great fisherman. How is it that now you couldn't even bring in one fish? Not even the perch or the bait. You couldn't get nothing no more. Things just feels like things are just, you ain't got nothing. You got no sense whatsoever. You got nothing left in you. But before I came into the kingdom, man, I had all kinds of jingling in my pocket. I got this round. I'm talking to the right church now. I'm just making sure I'm in the right church. Don't look at me all holy and sanctified. Y'all know what it is. Like, I got this one. You ain't got no money, I cover you. I got you. What you want? You want to order some appetizer? Because you got to get a little something in your belly before we get that drink on.
Pastor, what you? I got my own party going on. You ain't even made it in the club yet. Just trying to say, we have a tendency to do things before we came into the kingdom that just kind of what we thought worked. All of it, you got. Hey, I got this round, man. I got it. And when you know, back in the day, when y'all had the money, you weren't just talking to one. Come on, would you put your Bible down? You're gonna be in the midst of all this, man. Every now and then, when you got things going on before you get into the kingdom walk, you got some friends around. Well, you have friends. You got friends. What's up? What's kicking it, man? I got this tonight. It's on me. It's on me tonight. Come on, bro. It's on. I got you. Right? We all together. We got this. We got this, baby. Woo-wee! Now watch this. Now watch this. Now you get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and nobody around no more. Ain't nobody standing with you. Hey, I got... What happened? Ain't nobody around. Hey, man. You lost your job. Lost all sense of direction. And then our next thing you find out is the people that we were once kicking it with you are no longer around. They're the ones mocking you. They're the ones talking about you. They're the ones saying, oh, he thinks he's all that because he's walking around with the Bible now. He's over here reading, getting in his scripture day in and day out now. He says, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. And they're looking at it like, oh, baby, you need God. Because I remember back in the day, you used to cover us, man. You used to pay for us left and right. Now that you with Jesus, man, you ain't got not one dime to your name. I don't know about this God of yours, man.
Lord Jesus.
Watch this. Watch. So then something inside of you starts driving you. Just, it may not be. And it feels like you start straddling the fence. Okay, well, on Sunday, I'll be all right. You know, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. On Monday come around, I want my friends. We used to get together, man. Monday night football, we used to get together and stuff. We used to hang out. And then you go on over there. Go on over there. Go on. You know how you did it. You did it. You had gone over there, and there's the lure. There's the lure. The lure of familiarity gets you. Because you want to get somewhere that you know. You want to get somewhere comfortable. Well, y'all know me how I really am. You know, hey, this is Sunday, man. This is just Sunday. Well, hey, Sunday? Monday? It's all, man.
So, you got it, stuff?
Yeah, that's it, man. I ain't got none. Can you catch me this time? Can you catch me this? I ain't got none this time. I used to cover you guys all the time, man.
Sure.
But what happens now is we have a tendency to want to go back. We want to go back to some things. You find in Scripture, Peter used to do the same thing after they really, you know, they were taking Jesus in to be before the courts. Where was Peter? He went back fishing. Went back fishing. We have a tendency to want to go back. The walk that we do in the kingdom sometimes is lonely. And sometimes it's so hard that those that used to be with you got your back, man. Got your back. Yeah, you way back there, all right. But they're no longer around. You're going through the affliction of pruning. Y'all know what pruning is? I ain't talking about eating prunes. I'm talking about when things get snip, snip, cut, cut. Things just kind of get torn away from you. It's better to be cut than torn. Because a clean cut can heal faster. But a tearing away takes longer to heal.
Amen.
I just won't even go to my notes. Let me just stay here. See, what was there before is no longer there to help you. It's only there to hinder you. And until you get that realization, don't go back. Don't go back. In order to be fishers of men, they had to start watching Jesus and everything that he did to learn about the kingdom mindset as opposed to the earthly mindset. This is why he says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's the year of the what? Hand. It's the year of the kingdom at hand. Where you're going to see the kingdom begin to be displayed. Displayed. How is it displayed? Well, it's displayed through signs and wonders. Signs and wonders that you would think that was never going to come to pass, and all of a sudden came to pass. And you didn't do nothing. You just woke up that morning, get a phone call, been looking for you, looking for you. I got a blessing for you. And what did you do? Nothing. Been walking alone for a while. Been trusting my own kind of way for a while. Got some things torn away from me. And it's been a while. But all of a sudden things just come back. When the year of the hand shows up, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You'll see some supernatural things take place. Jesus was showing Peter and the disciples, follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. What he was showing is, you're going to see my affliction. He's going to see the affliction that comes to Jesus. So why is it that we get so, oh my God, I can't believe this happened, when Jesus went through all this kind of affliction? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he went through affliction. He went through all different kinds of affliction. And that affliction is what you have to understand. It was sent your way. It was sent your way. Was it not? It's not like, hey, can you send me affliction this month, please? Lord, I pray for affliction. The unmerited affliction. Y'all don't pray that one?
No.
Why is it that it shows up then?
I don't know.
Y'all don't pray that one? Lord, I thank you for multiplied affliction. Yeah. Because a multiplied affliction means that I'm really serving you, right, God? Right, is that what it means? Hello, God? Hello? God, are you still there? Hey. You used to talk to me when I first got saved. To get me away from my friends that I used to hang out with. Remember, you used to talk to me? And I would wake up and you were talking. And then I'd start reading the Bible and you were talking in the Word all the time to me. And then my friends, they leave and they go away. And I think, okay, now I've got a new friend and I'm talking to you. And now you leave me. I can't even find you, and I'm being afflicted right now. I'm going through something that I don't quite understand. Where are you? Do you not see what I'm going through? I feel like I'm alone, drifting at sea, and don't quite understand how I got here. Much less how I'm going to get out. Where are you? How many of you have been in a situation like that? It's just like, how are we going to get out of this thing? And he has a tendency to show you is that I'm going to show you why you go through affliction and the purpose of the affliction so you have a better understanding of why it's in your life. Thank you, guys. If you would, please go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, these are your scripture readings, if you would. Psalms 119, 67 through 76 in the King James Version. And then Psalms 132, 1 through 10 in the King James Version. What I will begin to read here is Psalms 119, 67 through 76. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Let me read that again. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statute. The proud have forged a lie against me. What you say? But I will keep the precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. What you did? Wait. But I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. What? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than a thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Do y'all read that? Am I reading the same Bible, you guys? Okay. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy mercy, the merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Woo! Well. So we see here that now the affliction have been sent. And the psalmist writes about it, and he's enjoying the fact that affliction has come because it's going to teach him about his statutes. But you go to Psalms 132, 1 through 10. Psalms 132, 1 through 10 out of the King James. I'll begin reading. It reads in this wise. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. Remember who? And all his what? Afflictions. How he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I found out a place for the Lord and a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of the Ephrathah we found in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let the priest be clothed with righteousness. Let the saints shout for joy for the servant David's sake. Turn not away the face of thine anointed. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. In other words, how many times did we tell God about our afflictions? How many times did we remind him what we've been going through? Quite often, isn't it? I know it. We do it all the times. Lessons of affliction as you stay afloat in the sea of the unknown. I want you to see here, these are the lessons of affliction. Make notes. I'm going to go quickly. Make notes. Take pictures. Whatever you've got to do. The first one is what? Foolish affliction. The second one is demonic affliction. The third is victim affliction. Four, demonstration affliction. And five, opportune affliction. And number six is the one that I always, hallelujah, mysterious affliction. Yeah. Mysterious affliction. We can stay on that slide, and I want to tell you that the foolish affliction, sometimes we suffer because of foolish decisions that we make. You get mad at everybody else, but it was your decision that put you in that situation to begin with. You start blaming everybody, even God, but it's your decisions that caused you to be in the situation that you're in. Those are called the foolish afflictions. We see examples throughout Proverbs. Lazy become hungry, adulterers reap what they sow, fools suffer harm, and poor financial stewards are impoverished. All resulting because of our foolish acts. And it's not just telling you that the foolish afflictions, we do things and our outcome is because of what we've done. And sometimes we make decisions on our flesh. How many of you have been there? You know, we react, so we make a decision based out of our emotions. Every time you make a decision based on your emotions, you're going to get in trouble. It's better not to make a decision when you're emotionally distraught, where you're emotionally challenged. And you know who you are. When emotions get in the way, you just can't even think straight. You can't even look straight. You just start acting up because you are all emotional. You know them. You've been around them. They're so emotional that you just start talking to them, they just begin to weep. Others get mad. Others don't even, they just stare at you with a blank look in their face, like, when you gonna shut up? Just shut up. Like there is no life inside of them. The foolish affliction. Secondly, demonic afflictions. Demonic affliction is very real. This includes torment, physical injury, deception arising from false miracles, accusations, even unto death. Sometimes demonic suffering is difficult to discern. The enemy is often blamed for suffering that we're experiencing because of what we've done in the foolish affliction. From our own decisions, nonetheless, demonic affliction is real and should not be discounted just because some wrongly blamed everything on the enemy. Ephesians 6:11 is where you have to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because there is a devil that is out there that has his enemy, his little imps that go out there and they try to afflict you with all kinds of things, put all kinds of things on you. Those are real entities. But we're not going to give the enemy his place. All right? You have got to, in James 4:7, it says, resist the devil and he will what? Flee. God gave you the full armor to keep on you. Don't take it off at night. It ain't like clothes that you put on and you change every day. It's something you leave on all the time. Have you ever wondered why when you go to bed, you get all kinds of nightmares that come your way? How many of you had a nightmare in your life? Raise your hand. Don't be lying. You're in church. Everybody's had a nightmare in their life. And when that nightmare comes, you think like, oh my God, it was so real. I was trying to even cry out and say, Jesus. And then you wake yourself up, Jesus! And then, babe, wake up! What happened? I had a nightmare. What was it about? I don't remember. Heaven forbid if she's in a nightmare that she's fighting. Because you're going to get whooped. This is what you did to me. Just responding to the dream and like, hey, I didn't do nothing. It was just a dream. But it felt real. You ever been there? The dreams feel so real that you just get mad when you wake up. Mm. Are you sure there's nothing you need to tell me? I had this dream and this dream. Are you sure? You need to go to the cross when you get to church. Because there's some stuff going on. I keep having these weird dreams. What did you eat before you went to bed? Well, I ate 2 slices of pizza. And then I had a milkshake to go with and a hot fudge sun. Oh, and it was the Lord speaking, right? We have to be able to discern. To discern. But you do go through things. The demonic will always come and will always attack. But if you resist him, how do you resist the devil? By giving worship to God. When you give worship to your Savior, Jesus Christ, the devil can't stand in the presence of your worship. He can't even attack during the presence of your worship. Now, your mind is a whole different thing. Is your mind a little bit different, Michael? You know, when you try to get in worship, Lord, I worship you.
Dang, my stomach is just going to town. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Today is my cheat day. Hallelujah, Jesus. I shouldn't have had that coffee. Whew, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I wonder who's barbecuing today. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a beautiful day yesterday, God. Wow, I should have went fishing yesterday. Seeing pastor with all this kind of fishing stuff made me want... Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Your mind will take you to places even in worship, and it's not the enemy. It's your mind. And I bind that devil. No, it ain't the devil. It's you. So your next thing you know, we're going to see people in church like this. What's she doing? She's binding herself. Why? Because she's thinking all these kind of things, or he's thinking all these kind of things, and they should be worshiping Jesus, but right now they got to, you know, they're praying for themselves. Because your mind just goes. Just goes. So keep the whole armor of God on. Make sure you wear that helmet of salvation. In other words, know that you're saved. Amen. Know you're saved already. The devil will lie to you. Well, you messed up last night. You can sit down. You'd be up for a while. Just sit down. You messed up last night. You know, you were up last night and you shouldn't have went where you went, and you messed up pretty bad. And you know, you were cussing like a sailor just the other day. And so you're not truly a real Christian, much less a leader in the house of manna, because, you know, you were just, you know, I'm just saying, just things like just have a tendency to happen, you know, but he just kind of gets in there. Just kind of gets in there. Keep that helmet on. Keep that helmet on. Because, you know, some things just kind of come your way. Just keep that helmet on. Helmets are there for your protection. And so you don't mess up your noggin, you know. Just. All right. Here's another one. The victim affliction. Victims endure affliction by being sinned against. You ever had someone do something to you purposely? How many times do they do something just to see how you're going to react? Huh? To see how you really act. Is the hallelujah coming out, or the, you know, well, what's coming out? You going to give praise to Jesus now? Huh? Are you really a Christian is what I want to know. What you going to do now? Huh? You ever been tempted that way? You know how they are. They come at you, and they come at you strong, don't they? They come at you so strong, and they start messing with you. They just mess with you and mess with you. And mess with you and mess with you. Have you ever had someone just kind of... Well, you're supposed to be getting mad. You're laughing, though. Have you ever had someone come, they just kind of just picking on you, just picking on you, just picking on you, right? Don't you get mad? Without the smile, but yeah, I know you get mad. So, I don't know. But all kinds of things just start coming your way. They're going to see how you react. They want to see, has all that stuff that you used to be like, how I remember you? Because we used to kick it back then. Matter of fact, you used to pay for all the drinks because you used to have money. Now you ain't got so much. You ain't paying for drinks no more. Matter of fact, the only thing you're telling me to do is get rid of the drinks in my house. We ain't going to have that now. But I'm going to come over in your business. I'm going to start testing you. And as I test you, have you ever been tested, brother? You don't have to answer, man, because, you know, you got it all straight. You got it all together, man. You good. You got it, man. You got it. You good, brother. You all right. You been tested, Natalie? You been tested, right? I've been tested. Prophet, you been tested? Yeah, we get tested. We just get tested. We get so tested that the people that are testing you, sometimes you want to knock them out. I mean, you want to lay hands on them. Don't you want to just lay hands on them? Girl, I'm going to pray for you. I'll pray for you. Pray for you. Lay hands on them, Cheryl. We want to lay hands on them. Lay hands on them. Because what you're being is tested to see how you're going to react during your affliction. And a lot of times it ain't going to be the people that you think they're going to be testing you. It's the ones that are sitting next to you doing the hallelujah and the amens. And love you, brother. You're a good man. I love you, brother. Amen. Thank you. Jesus, a good man. Amen. I mean, were you out last night, man? Sure. I smell like, you know, like you in a club or something, you know.
But that's why, you know, you ain't got things together, man. Because you know what I'm saying is that the affliction doesn't come from the people from the world. It comes from the people in the church. The people in the world, they don't care. They look at you like, you crazy anyhow. I don't want to be associated with you anyhow because you come at me and Jesus is so good. You're the one that was just crying the other day. Remember that? Because you didn't know what was going on in your life. I don't want that Jesus you got. Matter of fact, the testing that's going to come your way is going to come from the church. Because where you have the most trust is where you're most vulnerable. Because where you begin to trust someone that they should have your well-being, the interest of your well-being, is the one that you're going to trust is the one that's going to hurt you. The ones that you trust so much, the ones that I can go to Elder Allen because he's going to pray for me. He's going to pray for me. And Elder Allen just happened to be just like a busy, preoccupied pastor, asked him to do something. And Elder didn't give the time to that individual. Guess who got hurt? The individual. And why would the individual get so hurt? Because they valued input. They value the input from the individual in the church as opposed from someone outside. Why? Because you know the position of someone in the church should be there to help you. What did the enemy do? Got up here, got in here, and now from your head and your heart, deception, and the way we're thinking, oh, Elder didn't love me. Elder didn't want to help me. Why is he an elder anyhow? Because a true elder would have seen that I had some needs. Do you understand that? And what happens is that the enemy is doing that in the church day in and day out. And he's going to use that type of affliction to test you whether or not are you standing really firm on the fact that we all have a redeeming Savior. Hear me on this. A redeeming Savior is not just a redemption that comes only to believers. Redemption comes to those that are even unbelievers. Redemption comes to those that are in need of redemption. So Elder was just saying, I've got to take care of this. Pastor asked me to bring this to him right now in his office. But someone had a question they needed to ask and I didn't have the time. I'll go back to him in just a minute. But that person you go back to go and talk to them, they're no longer around. Now they leave the church mad, all upset because the house of manna is now, they don't care about people. And they're reaching people with the love of God. They didn't give no love to me. They went on and did their own business. What kind of love is that? They knew I had a problem. The Elder didn't even want to smile at me. He just said, he gave me the hand. Y'all been there? No, I mean, y'all been there. Where you misread the signs. Elder gave you a hand, said, I'll be right back. But all you heard was, I ain't got time for you.
Isn't that the truth? That's
true. Speaking of him. That's not what Elder said. Elder said, I'll be right back. Give me a minute. But you being impatient, you leave. Then you leave with all kinds of emotional feelings and sorrow, so that when you go to the next church, you're going to unleash it to somebody else. Because if you unleash it out in the streets, you won't get knocked out. But if you do it in the church, it looks like it's a place where you say, come to the cross and leave it at the cross. So I went to another church and I left the cross. And we go from church to church to church, taking our emotional scars with us and baggage with us, picking up more as opposed to dropping it off at the altar. That's still affliction. And you get tested in it to see how you're going to react. Just to see how you're going to react. They just want to see what you're going to do. Just going to see. In Acts 7, 9 through 10, it reads, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions. Who delivered him out? God. Of how many afflictions? All of his afflictions. And gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Some of us suffer to teach a lesson about God so that worship to God can increase.
Did Joseph ask to go through everything that he went through? No. He asked for it. It just came. Some of your afflictions just come. They just show up at your doorstep. You walk out. You woke up feeling good. You walk out the door and bam, there it is.
Amen.
Comes in a form of a text. Man, I knew I shouldn't have answered that text. Oh, no, I shouldn't have answered that text. Oh, I can't believe this. I'm on the way to church right now. I can't believe this. Oh, my God. What's going on? It just meets you there. It just meets you there. Now, Joseph just got up from a dream. Joseph got up from a dream. Daddy, I had a dream. My brothers were going to bow to me and you too, Dad. Why y'all all mad at me? It wasn't just one dream. He had it again. Not only did he say I had a dream that my brothers were going to bow down to me, mommy and daddy, but even all the wheat. In other words, all the money. Livelihood was going to bow down to me. Well, you pompous thing, you. Thinking that you all that in a bag of chips. They may be stale, but you ain't no bag of chips. Outdated and everything. Thinking just because I made you a coat don't mean that you got everything. Don't mean you're going to get everything. I don't understand what your problem is. You just think just because I take time with you and I read the scriptures to you, I gave you a new coat. You think you just know everything. You got revelation knowledge that none of your brothers have. You know what? I don't understand where you're coming from because you know what? I'm daddy here, not you. Matter of fact, just go out there and do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. Huh? Do what you're supposed to do. I love you, Joseph, but just, I don't know why I got you that coat. got that kind of attitude like that, thinking that you the man. And so what happens to the brothers? Sure, y'all know. Joseph, you think you all that? Huh? I see you got that coat daddy gave you. Daddy always had a favorite. Always had to be Joseph. I'm the one that goes and gets the firewood and go kills all the animals so we can eat. What you do? You do nothing. You just read the Bible all the time with Dad. You don't do nothing. You always want to follow us all the time. You're just following us. Get away. You just pester me. Wait. You know, I got something for you. I'm going to throw you in this pit. And you know what? The other brothers, they ain't got no say-so. I'm gonna put them in the pit. Y'all want me to throw in the pit for real? I thought y'all were going to talk me out of it. I was just playing. But really? Throw them in the pit. Did Joseph get up asking for this kind of affliction to come his way? No. Matter of fact, did he ask for that kind of dream to come to him? Did he ask for his destiny be revealed to him at a young age? No, he didn't ask for none of that, but all of a sudden it just shows up, hits the doorstep, and not only that, just kind of becomes a part of his life. Go get my tilly real quick, please, Michael. Why all of a sudden now what he sees in his dream is now being played out, but it's not being played out at the end. It's being played out from the beginning to the end. He has to sometimes show you where you're going to go so that when you're going through your affliction that you know where you're going to wind up. Go ahead and put that on you, Joseph. Put that on you, Joseph. All this kind of color's all over you. It looks so pretty. You came out. Look, and you even had the praying hands on you because you're just a prayer warrior for God. And that the angels are always around you. You got peace all around you with the dove. It's always because Daddy's been praying for you. Daddy always favors you. I'm so sick and tired of all this favor on you, and then all these coat of many colors on you. I'm so sick and tired of it. Just like every single time you start doing the right things for God, people start coming against you because they're jealous about the favor that is on you. But you didn't ask for all kind of affliction to come your way. So then the next thing you know, you wind up in the pit. Get in the pit, man. Get in the pit. Getting in the pit now. But watch this. So did the coat. So did the covering. So did the destiny. All of the promises got in the boat too, which is the pit. Who threw them there? The brothers. Look around. Now y'all gonna say, I ain't going to church now. I'm my brother. We're gonna put me in a pit. I ain't going to church now. The brothers in church, man, put me in a pit. They're all jealous about me. I ain't got nothing. Watch this. When God gives you something, I'm going to stay on this one for a little bit. When God gives you something, even when you go down, it goes down with you. Even when he showed you in the night season. Even when he speaks at night to you, he goes down to the pit with you. Even when all kinds of adversity comes against you, it still goes down with you. Even when everything is meant to harm you, it goes down with you. See, the covering of God is the mantle that is on you that will always go down in all of your afflictions with you. And that mantle is the same mantle that's going to bring you up out. Watch this. Because now what they say is, let's take this coat. Let's take it. We'll dip it in blood and we'll say it's Joseph's blood. The symbolic meaning of that is that your covering, your blessings are always going to go through the process of shedding of blood. Even if it's your own blood. Your afflictions will sometimes cause you to bleed. Cause you to cry out. And it happens because of jealousy. It happens because of your favor. It happens because you're wanting to do the right things for God. And all kinds of things start breaking loose in your life. And you have no reason why to believe that you asked for it. No. That just showed up on your doorstep. All I did is dream like you told me to dream, Dad. And when I started dreaming, this is what I saw. I didn't ask to see it. I didn't ask for anything else. I just started dreaming just like you told me to dream. And to always dream big. I dreamt big and I began to see things big. But I didn't give those dreams to me. The dreams came from God. He spoke in my night season. And in my night season, this is what he gave me. And I tell you because you're my daddy and whom I trust. I tell because I come to my headship. But yet in my headship, I go into the pit. My elders throw me into a place. How do I get out? But just because a garment was taken off, the covering remains. The Bible says that when he told unto Jacob, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will go with you and I will bring you up once again. You go down and your afflictions, you go down. You go down. Your afflictions are to drive you down. And these afflictions are going to show you how good he really is. When the coat of many colors was brought to the Father, the Father knew of it. Why? Because he gave it. That whole story about Joseph and his father is that Joseph is Jesus and the Father is God. Jesus goes through all kinds of afflictions, goes through all kinds of torture, all kinds of ridicule and abuse. Peter and his disciples are following him and watching Jesus as he goes through all kinds of affliction and abuse. People that used to celebrate him are the ones that are spitting on him. People that used to worship him are the ones that are saying, kill him. The ones that said, oh, you are the Messiah, and now you are not the God. You are not the Son of God. It meant that many people that are going to walk this walk in the kingdom walk are going to suffer so much affliction. So much affliction that the disciples were beginning to look at him and say, I don't want this walk. I don't want to walk down this walk. It's too much for me to bear. It's too much for me to understand. Most of the times that you're walking with the covering regardless. Because the covering will remain on you regardless of what you're going through. It'll stay on you because he gave it to you. And even though you go through some afflictions, know this, that God is watching you to come out of your affliction. And that affliction is to have people look at you and how you get down and how you get up. And how you praise your way through and say, Lord, remember my afflictions. Remember my afflictions. That you can bring me up out once again. Remember all of my afflictions that you will deliver me out of them again. And you look back through the life of Joseph. He went through not just going into the pit. He went into being sold into slavery. But every single step in his journey was taking him closer to his destiny. Every step was afflictions towards his destiny. What he much lost, watch this, what he lost in the pit, he lost it, was now given in the palace. You may have lost something in the pit when you went down. But when God gives it to you, it can't be taken away. Regardless of the affliction, it can't be taken away. But your end result and your destiny is given back to you. But not what you used to have. About what he intended for you to have all along. Your process that you go through, these afflictions,
are to only get you to your destiny. Just to get you to your destiny. Sometimes the afflictions will come to see that others can say, you truly love God because you haven't given up. Amen. You continue on. So there must be some truth to what you proclaim out of your mouth because it's in your heart. Yes. And because you're proclaiming that, I need to know this God that you serve. Yes. That affliction is the opportune affliction. The mysterious affliction, just remember the story of Job. Job didn't know why all this stuff was happening. He wasn't privileged to the conversation between God and Satan. He was not privileged to know that he was not going to be able to take his life. He may have felt that he was about to die or even felt like giving up. Just take me out of here, God. This is just too much. Just take me out. I can't handle this no more. You've already taken and stripped everything away from me. Just might as well just go. You've been telling my wife, she's even telling me to curse you and just die. And that's the one I used to draw strength from when I would look at her in the morning and just say, you're my beloved, you're beautiful, I love you, and I thank God for you. But now you're telling me to curse God and just die. Job didn't ask for it. Job didn't know how much further he was going to have to go down either. Job did not know what was about to take place. What I do find in Scripture that makes it very, very promising to me and to everybody that has gone into the pit and to everybody that has gone through. It's in 2 Corinthians 4:17 out of the Amplified. It says, for our light, momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light momentary affliction. That's a great promise. It's only momentary. Psalms 34 and 5 reads, sing unto the Lord, all you saints of his, and give thanks all the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment. His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. You may be suffering some afflictions, and these afflictions that you are suffering, I want you to understand it's only for a moment. And it's only for a moment, being even if you have some sickness in your body, it's only for a moment. Even if you had some things that you have been struggling with, it's only for a moment. First, make a choice. And when you make that choice, know that that choice is for you to come out. Are you willing and ready to come out? That affliction is going to end. It's going to end. You're not going to stay where you once were. You're going to come up out of it. You're going to come out of the darkness. You're going to come out of the pits. You're going to come out of your imprisonment. You're going to come out of that bondage. And whatever lures the enemy's been using on you is not going to work, because your night season is coming to an end. You're coming out, and you're going to start to change the direction of the course that God has told you to go on, because now you're no longer going to be going against the wind. Now the wind is going to be taking you to where you need to go. And what you need to understand, though, it's only for a moment. It's only for a moment. And you're going to come out. But the afflictions that come your way are the afflictions that will take you in. Take you into your destiny and your purpose. And even when people don't want to look at you the right way just because. And they have no idea why. Things just don't look right in your life, and I don't understand. I've been watching you. I've been watching you. And every time I watch you, I begin to see that you still stand firm on what your belief is. Haven't you ever seen some things in people's lives just go a little haywire, but they still profess Jesus? They still profess his goodness. That affliction only proved what they believed that was in their heart and in their soul, because now they knew how to stand within the storm. You're going to come out of your storm. You're going to come out of your affliction. You're going to come out of everything that you've been through. But know that that affliction may be so others can see how you're going to come out. That's right. And once you make it out, be the brothers and sisters in the church that will say, I know you're going through. I'll pray with you. I'll believe with you. But I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and I know what you're going through. If you need me, I'm here. If you want to be left alone, I understand, because I was once there. Don't come and give me another scripture or another prophetic word, because during those seasons, every prophetic word is pathetic, because it's so hard. Just leave me in that raft by myself with Jesus, because he'll get me to the other side when he says, shh, be still. And all adversity will stop. But immediately you'll be on that other side. Scripture says in that particular story that they were rowing for 4 hours. 4 hours rowing and rowing and rowing. You guys only rowed for a little bit and your shoulders got hurt. And you weren't even rowing in water, but your shoulders got a little weary, a little tired. How about when the waves are so bad that you just can't even go no more? Then he gets in the boat and he doesn't say anything but, shh, be still. Be still. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still.